Welcome to episode 852 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living.
According to the historical record, Cyrus the Great, king of the Achaemenid Persians, conquered Babylon in 539 BC. He employed a clever strategy, diverting the Euphrates River, which flowed through the city, allowing his troops to enter Babylon through the riverbed. The fall of the city marked the end of the Neo-Babylonian Empire, which had dominated the region for around a century. The Achaemenid Empire, set up after the conquest of Babylon, rapidly expanded under Cyrus and his successors, encompassing vast territories from the Aegean Sea to the Indus Valley. It was known for its efficient administration, centralized bureaucracy, and tolerance of diverse cultures and religions. The Achaemenid Empire had a lasting impact on the region, influencing art, architecture, and political systems for centuries. This empire could easily match the prophecy of the world power succeeding Babylon, symbolized by the chest and arms of silver in King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, as interpreted by Daniel. In Daniel chapter 5, verses 30-31, after the dramatic handwriting on the wall of the Babylonian palace, we read the following. That very night Belshazzar the Chaldean king was killed, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Daniel 5's account of the overthrow of Babylon does not mention Cyrus, although Cyrus is mentioned several times in the book. In the context of the Babylonian conquest and the book of Daniel, Gubaru is a crucial figure, often shrouded in confusion due to the presence of similar names associated with the historical event and the book's content. Here's a breakdown of his role. Gubaru was a Babylonian governor who played a key role in the transition of power from the Neo-Babylonian Empire to the Achaemenid Empire led by Cyrus the Great. The Nabonidus Chronicle mentions that Gubaru, governor of the district of Gutium, entered Babylon with Cyrus's army in 539 BC, effectively contributing to the city's capture. He appears to have held some authority for a short period before Cyrus assumed full control. In the book of Daniel, the name Gubaru is not mentioned explicitly. Some interpretations, particularly regarding Daniel 5 and 6, suggest that the Darius mentioned alongside Cyrus could be a reference not to Darius the First and who ruled later, but to Gubaru. This interpretation is based on the fact that Gubaru held a position of authority for a brief period after the conquest, and the book of Daniel mentions Daniel prospering during the reigns of Darius and Cyrus. Therefore, while Gubaru is not explicitly named in the book of Daniel, some interpretations suggest the possibility that the Darius mentioned alongside Cyrus in certain chapters may refer to him. This interpretation stems from the historical context of Gubaru's role in the Babylonian conquest and his brief period of authority. It's important to note that this interpretation is not universally accepted, and there are other possible explanations for the Darius mentioned in Daniel. Additionally, it's crucial to distinguish Gubaru from Darius the First, who ruled later and had no direct involvement in the conquest of Babylon. The Jewish historian Josephus identifies Darius the Mede as the son of Astyages, the last Median king and the maternal grandfather of Cyrus. This explanation aims to link Darius to the Medo-Persian conquest while maintaining a distinct figure from Cyrus. He claims that Darius the Mede assists Cyrus in conquering Babylon. This portrays Darius as playing a secondary role alongside Cyrus, potentially explaining his presence in the biblical narrative. Still, regardless of who the historical figures were, there are important spiritual takeaways.
Today's top 10 list.
Here are 10 potential elements from the sequence of Belshazzar's fall, Cyrus's victory, and Darius's establishment that might point towards Jesus.
Number 1.
Judgment and deliverance. The fall of Belshazzar's corrupt kingdom can be seen as a foreshadowing of the ultimate judgment of evil and the deliverance of the righteous by God. This resonates with Jesus's teachings about judgment and his role as the ultimate judge and savior.
Number 2.
Overcoming evil through righteousness. Cyrus is often portrayed as a just ruler. His victory over Babylon can symbolize the eventual triumph of good over evil. This aligns with Jesus' message of light overcoming darkness.
Number 3.
Unexpected Deliverer. Cyrus's sudden rise and unexpected victory can be seen as a parallel to Jesus's unexpected arrival as the Messiah, bringing salvation in a seemingly hopeless situation.
Number 4.
Change in leadership. The shift from Belshazzar's oppressive rule to Darius's potentially more just reign foreshadows the establishment of God's perfect kingdom under Jesus's leadership.
Number 5.
Fulfillment of prophecy. The fall of Babylon, predicted by prophets, can be seen as a foreshadowing of the fulfillment of biblical prophecies about the coming Messiah and the ultimate establishment of God's kingdom.
Number 6.
Restoration and hope. The potential for rebuilding and renewed hope under the rules first of Darius and ultimately Cyrus resonates with the hope for restoration and reconciliation offered by Jesus through his teachings and sacrifice.
Number 7.
Divine sovereignty. The events from Belshazzar's fall to Darius's rise can be interpreted as demonstrating God's ultimate control over history, directing events towards his purposes. This aligns with Jesus' role as the embodiment of God's will and plan.
Number 8.
Continuity of God's work. The sequence of events can be seen as part of a larger narrative of God's ongoing work in history, ultimately culminating in the establishment of his kingdom through Jesus.
Number 9.
Significance of names. Some interpretations find symbolic meaning in the names. The name Cyrus is of Persian origin, with potential roots in either Elamite or Old Persian languages. The meaning in Elamite is uncertain, with possible interpretations like son or lord. In Old Persian, depending on the specific interpretation, potential meanings include thriving or flourishing, sharpshooter or archer, hero or son. The Greeks adopted the name as Kairos, associating it with the word Kuros, meaning lord or master. The name Darius is also of Persian origin. The most widely accepted meaning of Darius is maintains possessions well or possessor of good. This interpretation reflects the idea of someone who is a good ruler and steward of his kingdom. The actual meaning of the name Gubaru remains uncertain. While the name appears in several ancient texts, including the Nabonidus Chronicle and other administrative documents, the specific language of these texts does not provide a clear interpretation of its meaning. Some scholars suggest a possible connection to an Akkadian verb, which can mean to be strong, powerful, mighty. However, this connection remains uncertain and lacks definitive confirmation. The exact meaning and significance of all these names might be subject to ongoing debate and scholarly discussion. Still, we might see Cyrus as foreshadowing the role of the Anointed One or Messiah due to potential connections to the word Lord or Son. This association with the concept of Anointed One potentially foreshadows Jesus's messianic role.
Number 10.
Foreshadowing the Kingdom of God. The entire sequence from Belshazzar's fall to Darius's establishment can be viewed as a symbolic foreshadowing of the ultimate establishment of God's kingdom under Jesus's reign. The transition from the Neo-Babylonian Empire to the expansive Achaemenid Empire under Cyrus and then Darius mirrors the spiritual journey from captivity to liberation, from exile to promise. Just as Cyrus's strategic brilliance and Darius's rule marked a new chapter for the ancient world, so does the advent of Christ herald the dawn of a new era for humanity, a kingdom not of this world, built on the foundations of justice, mercy, and humility.
Father, may we be ever mindful of your kingdom that is here and yet to come, living in hopeful anticipation of the day when your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the fullest today.